Another time, Jesus began teaching by the lake. A large crowd gathered around him. He got into a boat so that he could sit and teach from the lake. All the people stayed on the shore near the water. Jesus used stories to teach many, many things. One of his lessons included this story. Listen, Listen, a farmer went out to sow seed. While he was scattering the seed, some of it fell on the road. The birds came and ate all the seed. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where there was not enough dirt. It grew quickly there, because of no soil was not deep. But then the sun rose and the plants were burned. They died because they did not have deep roots. Some other seed fell among the thorny weeds. The weeds grew and stopped the good plants from growing. So they did not make grain. But some of the seed fell on good ground, and it began to grow, and it made grain. Some plants made 30 times more grain, some 60 times more, and some 100 times more. Then Jesus said, "You people who hear me, listen." Later, Jesus was away from the people. The 12 apostles and his other followers asked him about the stories. Jesus said, "Only you can know the secret truth about God's kingdom. But to those people, I tell everything by using stories. I do this that they may look and look, but never really see. They will listen and listen, but never understand. If they saw and understood, they might change and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to the followers, "Do you understand this story? If you don't, how will you understand any sort story? The farmer is like someone who plants God's teaching in people. Sometimes the teaching falls on the path. That is like some people who hear the teaching of God. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the teaching that they have that was planted for them. Other people were like the seed planted on rocky ground. They heard the teaching, and they quickly and gladly accepted it. But they did not allow it to go deep into their lives. They keep it only for a short time. As soon as any trouble or persecution comes, because of the teaching they accepted, they give it up. Others are like seed planted among the thorny weeds. They hear the teaching, but their lives become full of other things, the worries of this life, the love of money, and everything else they want. This keeps the teaching from growing. It does not produce a crop in their lives. And others are like the seed planted on the good ground. They hear the teaching, accept it, and they grow and produce a good crop, sometimes 30 times, sometimes 60 times, and sometimes 100 times."
Thank you, Delmar. So we're bumping the sermon a little bit earlier in the service because I am on a rotation with some of the other pastors to help fill the pulpit at Salem Mennonite in Worcester. They're currently without one of their pastors. They resigned in August, and so us other churches are helping with the rotation. So I had preached there in September, and now I'm going to preach there today in November. And last time I did something that was not very smart when I was over there preaching. I said to them, I didn't have time this past week. This is what I was saying in September. I said, I didn't have time to prepare the sermon in Spanish, but I said, next time I'll preach in Spanish when I come. And so this week, I've been preparing this, it's really been, I've been thinking like, oh my goodness, do I know that word in Spanish? Do I know this word in Spanish? Because like I can kind of carry on a conversation with someone in Spanish, but once you get into words like sower and parable and scattering seed, you know, these are not words that you use in a common conversation with someone. So I'm kind of nervous about how this is going to go. And then and kind of to add to the pressure, the way it works at Salem is on the one side, they're divided kind of like this. On the one side, kind of all the Hispanics sit together. And on the other side, kind of the Anglos sit. And what they do is they have earpieces in translation. And so for when the sermon is in English, all the Hispanics get the earpieces and it's translated into Spanish. When the sermon's in Spanish, all the English get the earpieces and it's translated into English. So like once I go in there, like I have to make a decision right away and I can't change. So that's like if I start in Spanish and just like things go sideways, there's no escape route. So just keep that in prayer as I go, and that it's not that the message gets communicated somehow. I guess God's in control there. But this morning we're this is the last parable we're looking at. Next Sunday starts Advent, and we'll jump into our Advent expectation that we do every year. But this parable is at least in this Bible is titled the parable of the sower. But I think like a lot of different parables, these titles or in Scripture, these titles aren't necessarily scriptural. The folks that edit the NIV or the NRSV or the Message or whatever it is, they look at these sections and they kind of come up with a heading and they put it on there. And so when Mark was writing this Gospel of Mark, he didn't label it, okay, we're going to start chapter 4 with the parable of the sower. You know, he just wrote it down. But really, I think the title is a little bit of a misnomer because the focus of this parable is not on the sower. It's the focus is on the hearers, the people that hear the word. And so I think if I were an editor of Scripture, which is nothing I will ever be, so I don't have to worry about it, but it would be more the parable of the hearers, those of us who hear the word of God and how we hear it and what soil that is landing on. So we see the main focus there is on the hearers. And so there's kind of like as all parables, there's Jesus is using this story to relate something to us. So we can see there's something unique here in that Jesus actually explains this parable for us. And so in one sense, this makes it, you know, pretty easy to preach. It's like, well, Jesus already preached the sermon. He told the parable, then he explained the parable. I'm not needed that much here this morning because Jesus already did the job of interpretation. But we can see there's a couple different players, the sower or the farmer. That would be, it could be either God himself who puts his seed in us of his word, or it could be the role of preacher or anyone. Any way that we hear the word of God is the way that plays the role of the seer, sower. The seed itself is consistent. That is the word of God. That's the good news, the gospel that we hear. And so that is the seed is in this parable. And then the different types of soil. Those all represent us and the different types of hearers and the conditions that people hear the Word of God from. So the Word of God never changes. The good news, the gospel never changes, but it lands in every different context imaginable. And Jesus breaks all those different contexts down here basically into four different camps or categories that people fall to. And I would say the soil really represents the human heart. What type of heart is the good news landing on? Who has the heart where these seeds can take root? So let's say a prayer here, and then we can jump into looking at this a bit more. God, I first of all pray that you'd give me the words in Spanish in a couple minutes when I go to Salem. But here right now at Crown Hill, I pray that you give me the words in English that we can dive into your word, that your Holy Spirit would be active among us, that we would hear from you, and we would have a message that would something that we can apply to our lives that would be a blessing to our community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one thing that I think is interesting, just looking at kind of this overall picture of the parable here, you see this little idea of who is in control here. And it's noticeable that we in a large sense aren't in control, right? So there's a sower, there's God sowing the seed, and there's his word, which is unchangeable. And we don't control that. We don't control where it falls. We don't control what the Word of God is that has been given to us. And we don't necessarily control how it grows. But God is in control of all these different things. But I just notice in a reading of this parable, this kind of this stark thing, like we are not in control. God is in control. And so it's interesting to see that, you know, at least for me, that sticks out because I'm kind of a control freak. And so right away I read through this and see like, whoa, this is like, there's bigger things at play than me. I'm not in control of my own destiny. And I'm not always in control of what type of soil the seed will land on. But at the same time, even though we aren't in control, there are some things that we can work on. And that's what I want to focus on here this morning is what aspects, even though we aren't in control, what are the things that are in our realm of capability of change that we want to focus on? And that's what I want to look at is the soil of our own hearts. So if we see in this parable, if our heart is the soil, if our light is the soil, our life is the soil, how do we work on that? What are some things that we can do to prepare the heart, our hearts, for the Word of God to be able to dwell and to take root and to grow? And I think all of you would be just as equipped to answer this as I am. I am a very, very amateur gardener, but I know there's farmers in the room here. There's people that have much better gardens than I am in the room. And really, you can answer this better than I am. I would be happy to let you come here and take the pulpit, but I don't think anyone you'd want to. But you know, with farming, I mean, and gardening is pretty simple. If you're working and you want things to grow, there's things that you need to add to the soil, and there's things you need to be taken away. I mean, just breaking it down to the most basic, there's things you need to add, and there's things you need to take away. And so if you have a garden, you know the primary thing is you need to be adding fertilizer. You need to be adding things to the soil that are going to enhance the growth of any seed that you put into it. There's also things like you can do to protect erosion. There's cover crops you can put on. There's different chemicals you can add. You know, if there's too much nitrates or too much of this or anything like that, there's different ways that you can help determine. But, you know, as a farmer, there's things in a gardener you need to be adding to the soil, compost, whatever it might be, to make sure that it is, you know, a soil that can produce stuff, fruit. And there's also things you need to be taking away. Any gardener knows that no matter if it's good soil or bad soil, you're going to have to deal with weeds. Like, you have to remove the weeds. So if you have a cultivator and you're running that through your field, or if you're down on your hands and knees, the weeds have to be removed if you want a crop. There's also, if it's rocky soil, you've got to get rid of the rocks. If there's roots that are growing through it from trees, you got to get rid of that. So there's always things that you need to be adding to the soil, and there's things that you need to be taking away from the soil. And that's, you know, a one-to-one correlation with our spiritual life. There are things that if we want our hearts to be fertile soil for the Word of God, there are things that we need to be adding year after year after year. I think primarily we need to have time. We need to add rest into our schedule so that we can have time for our soil to recover, for our soil to rest, to hear God's Word, to have the time to dwell on God's Word, to have that Sabbath rest where the seeds that have been planted in our lives can grow. If we don't have time, we're just going, no matter what seed is planted there, it's not going to have time to grow, and it's not going to have the necessary things it needs to grow and develop in our lives. And so I think that's why God, from beginning to end of the whole Scripture, emphasizes the Sabbath, not as a legal rule that we have to follow, and, you know, certain things like Sunday, I can't do X, Y, and Z, but we need to work into that rest in our schedule, whether it's a daily routine of time set aside for a daily Sabbath rest, weekly Sabbath rest. If we don't take time and set it aside, the seed of good news of the gospel in our hearts won't grow. And then we need to have time in the Word. This collection of books that we have here that's been handed down to us for thousands of years, we need to spend time in that. That is God's Word. That is the seed that grows in our lives, and we need to spend time in it. We need to be adding time with other believers. You know, the famous scripture is that iron sharpens iron. And if we're not spending time with other believers and actually talking to them about our faith and having that growth happen, that's a very vital part of Christian belief. It's not an isolated, just me and God thing. It's me and God and all my brothers and sisters. And so we need to be spending that intentional time. And there's also things that we need to be adding that's not just about us. We need to be adding service to other people. You know, God gives us these our gifts and everything so we can serve other people with. And we need to be loving other people. We need to be loving our neighbors. And all these things are vital things that we need to be adding to the soil of our heart, to the context of our life. We need to be resting. We need to be dwelling in the Word. We need to be loving other people. We need to be spending time with other believers that can encourage us and challenge us. If we add all those things to our hearts, we're going to end up with good soil. And just like a good gardener and a farmer, there's things that you need to get rid of in our lives. You know, the weeds are a constant thing. If you weed a garden once and you think you're done, you know, that's a mistake. You know, there's got to be that constant weeding process. Likewise, if there's the rocks that are in your life that you need to work on, and maybe that takes a little bit more work than just pulling up a weed. Maybe that takes intentional counseling with a professional counselor or with a Christian that you trust, that you've got this rock in your life that you feel is an obstacle and you can't get around it, and you know it needs work, but it still needs to be removed and it needs to be worked on. So all these things in our life that could be sinful behaviors, it could be idols that we're elevating above God, it could be addictive things, or it could just be simple distractions like the TV is on too much, or the radio is on too much, or Facebook is up too much. You know, all these things can take the form of something that is bad seeds growing in our heart. And so we need to be doing that active, adding things to our soil, taking things away from the soil. And again, these are things we can do, but ultimately growth comes from God. If we do these things, we are putting ourselves in a position to really draw closer to God. But it's a lot of sense, it's out of our control. It's not a switch that we can flip. It's not something that we can just automatically do overnight, but it's a process that we work on over the course of our lives. And it's just like any relationship. Like, you know, the God growing in our heart is a relational thing. We get to know Him over time, and it's a dynamic thing. You can't just make it happen. Right? And you know that's true in all relationships. If you're in a marriage, you know it takes time. You develop relationship over time, and there's rough patches and there's good patches. And if it's a rough patch, you can't just say, "Hey, honey, you know, things aren't going well right now. Let's stop it and make it go better." Right? Or you can't go down into the basement and say, "Hey, look, I found a switch down here. Here's the problem. We've been arguing all the time because the switch has been set to argumentative. Okay, I'm going to just flip it to happy, and now our marriage will be better." Right? You know, we can't control life like that. It'd probably be nice, and if you could come up with a switch like that, you could make a lot of money. But that's not the way relationships work. You need to work on that soil. You need to work on the things that you can control, and that'll put you in a position for growth. And ultimately, growth is a miracle that comes from God. And that's true both of farming and of life. You know, farmers and gardeners, you put that seed in the ground. And once that seed is in the ground, you can't control it. Okay, you can water it. You've done your work beforehand with the soil. But you put that seed in the ground, and it's just a waiting game. And see if it grows. And it's out of your control. And many of you have probably experienced that. And it's kind of exciting to see, like, whoa, that little green shoot came up. And it was interesting. All I did was put that in there. But that growth comes from God. And it's the same way in our own lives. So what I want to do here, and we're going to do this a couple times throughout the sermon, is take a second here, and Tim's going to come up to the piano and just play for about, you know, one verse of a song here. And there's a question. We've done this. I'm going to flip this off. Our microphones have been having issues here. I just want you to reflect on this for about how long as Tim is playing there through a verse. Is what type of soil is your heart? And are there things that you need to do to improve your soil? So let God speak to you. Like I said, I think this parable is a very clear parable. It doesn't need a whole lot of in-depth theological explanation. I think Jesus did a very good job of that. And so I want you guys to just sit with this question a little bit. Is what type of soil is your heart? And are there things that you need to do to improve your soil? So take some time to sit on that. Tim will play one verse, and then we'll move on a bit. Thank you.
So one thing, and I'll just say this, I mean, I think we got a room full of great soil here. I mean, there's just a lot of faithful people in this room. But one thing I would want to just caution us, stay put, is the danger of good soil. So good soil is a good thing, but there's a danger in it. The danger of good soil is that good soil is good for anything, right? So if the seed of the Word of God lands on a good heart, it can grow and multiply and bear fruit. But a good soil is, say, good for a tomato plant. It's also going to be good for a thistle, right? Good soil is good if it's got the proper nutrients and it's well maintained and there's no rocks in it. You know, good plants can grow there, but also it's going to be good soil for bad plants to grow. And I think that's what we need to think through is, are the things that are growing in my heart, are they all from God and of God? Or are there some things that are growing there that have found good soil but aren't necessarily of God? And just, this is something that's helpful for me to remember that, you know, if you're in this room this morning and you consider yourself a human being, like if you're drawing breath and you're alive, that means something is growing in your heart, right? So this is not like, maybe for them they have this growing, that growing. I mean, we all have things growing in our hearts. Like there's something in our life that has taken root and is growing and is going to bear some type of fruit. Okay, that's non-negotiable for every human being. That's just the way we are. There is something growing. And so the challenge for us is, you know, what is that is growing? And are there other things that are growing maybe alongside the Word of God? And this is what Jesus gets at with the weeds and the thistles and the thorns, is that if there are other things growing alongside the Word of God, those things have the capability and the potential to choke out the Word of God in our lives and take over. So any soil that is growing something good also has the potential to grow something bad. And this needs to be, you know, an ongoing thing, this process of weeding, of removing the bad plants that shouldn't be growing there, is an ongoing thing that needs to be happening, done diligently over time. And this is something, I mean, this very thing is what makes me a horrible gardener. Because, you know, I enjoy gardening for the first 2 weeks. Like in the spring when it finally thaws and it's like warm outside, it's great to like to go to one of these greenhouses in the area or even the Home Depot or Lowe's and like look at all the plants. Like, oh yeah, like tomatoes and peppers and cilantro and I can make great salsa and oh, I love sweet corn. And so, you know, I just kind of get excited and I grab all these things and then I'll take a Saturday and I get, you know, it's fun to kind of finally get outside after a long winter and like turn over some dirt and like make the soil nice and prepare it and plant things in like neat little rows. And then, yeah, that's exciting. And even for the first week, it's exciting to see like the little shoots come up. Like, oh yeah, like I'm a gardener. But then the problem for me is like July always comes and by that time I'm bored. You know, it's like, oh, I'd rather be riding my bike. I'd rather be doing this. And all of a sudden, if you ever see any of the gardens I've planted come July, they always don't look like gardens. They're just weed patches. And then sometimes I'll be able to like pull out a tomato from it or pull out a pepper from it. But like I am not a diligent weeder when it comes to gardening. And if I hope that doesn't apply to my spiritual life all the time. I know it has at times before. But the idea is we can't just weed something once and consider it done. You can't just look back and say, yeah, when I was a young woman or a young man, I devoted my life to Christ and I went and did service after high school for a couple years and, you know, this X, Y, and Z. We can't look back and say like, yeah, I was good soil back then. If that was the case, great. But if you've lived for 40 years since then, have you been diligently and vigilantly weeding the soil of your heart every year since then, or every week, or every day? It can't just be a one-time thing, because if you were good soil back then, it doesn't mean you're a good soil now. And if you were, you know, an active Christian back then, it doesn't mean you're an active Christian now. And so, just like any farmer or gardener will tell you, it takes constant vigilance to maintain good soil. Even if you've been given a gift of a property that has a very fertile garden, if you don't maintain that, the weeds will very quickly take over. So no matter how much work you have done at any point in your life, it needs to be constantly revisited and gone back over and tilled and cultivated and weeded. So the second question that I want you to reflect on as Tim plays another verse here is, there's actually two questions here. What is it that is growing in your heart? What seeds have you allowed to take root? And the second part that goes with it is, have you maintained vigilance against weeds? Are you currently now in your life maintaining this vigilance? Are you looking back at a time like, yeah, there's a time when I was vigilant, but now I've allowed some of these things to creep in. So dwell on these questions as Tim plays another verse. One important takeaway from looking at this gospel or at this parable is it provides us an opportunity, and Jesus shows us an opportunity that we have a chance to work not only in the soil of our own heart, but we have the opportunity to work on the soil of other people's hearts. There's times when we have a chance to influence people. We have a chance to talk to people. We can be that person that plants the seed and see, you know, if that growth comes as a miracle from God. But we also have the opportunity to work with people. If, as I said earlier, if someone has that big stone in their soil and they need help getting it out, I guarantee you there are people in this room that have obstacles in their lives that they can't remove on their own, and they need the help of brothers and sisters in Christ to come into their lives and help prepare that soil with them. Or maybe there's people in this room that we are unaware of some things that may be growing in our lives, and we need people that love us enough to tell us about it. Not people that are willing to point the finger and judge us, but someone who's willing to love us enough to come alongside and say, hey, I see this and I can help with this. I've been through this before. Or I, you know, point someone in the help of the wrong, right direction. You know, we have that opportunity to be that farmer, in a sense, for someone else's soil. And as I thought about this, my mother comes to mind. My mom, I think, maybe we all kind of have an affinity, like, oh, our moms are, have a special place in our hearts. But in literal gardening and in spiritual life, my mom has modeled this very well for me, that in all the gardens I've planted, whenever I invite, as she comes by, either in Rittman or when I was living in Doubton, you know, she'll see the garden and she'll kind of say, you know, Thomas, there's some weeds growing there. You know, and she'll always, when she comes in and out of the house, she'll, you know, I'll see her, she'll go over and grab some and pull them out of the flower bed for me, just because, you know, that's what she does. But I've also seen her do this in spiritual life. She takes 2 days a week and goes to the Wayne County prison in Worcester there. And she works with women in the women's side of the prison that have some huge rocks and some weeds and some thistles that have deep roots. 2 times a week, and helps them till that soil to give them an opportunity so when they get out of prison, they can allow that seed that has been planted through the chaplaincy program there to grow. And so that's just one example that came to my mind. And I think we all have those opportunities. That's my prayer for coaching the middle school boys basketball program, is that in some way, whether it's something I say or do or the way I coach, that I can either plant that seed or help them to challenge them to remove some of the things that are in their lives that is unhelpful. And you know, I don't know how successful I've been in that, but I think we all have those different opportunities, whether it's in our own family, it's in our own church or our neighbors, wherever it is, that there are people that need help. And we are people that need help. And so we have this opportunity to invest into other people's lives, to help them with soil preparation, to help them prepare their hearts for the hearing of good news, or to be the people that plant the seed of good news. And I think it's good that this I like this parable because it takes the pressure off us, right? So if we're not the ones out there kind of evangelizing the world and everyone's coming to faith through us, that's okay. You know, some seeds take root and some seeds don't. But we still need to be involved in other people's lives to a point where we can be those ones that plant that seed, and we can be the ones that help seeds that other people have planted. You know, maybe someone else has heard the good news from someone else, and you're just coming alongside, and you can help them understand, or you can help them remove a weed or a stone or whatever that role might be. But we have an opportunity to not just look to our own hearts and our own soil, but look to the other people and how can we invest into them? How can we prepare their soil? And how can we plant the seed of the gospel in them? And so the last question, we're going to do the same thing. Tim's going to play one verse of the final song, and then after one verse, we'll all sing together the song that's in the bulletin. So the last question is, who in your life do you have the opportunity to do soil work with? Who is it? Think of your neighbors, think of your coworkers, think of your family, think of people here at church. Who are the people that come to your mind that need someone to come alongside them? Not to point out their sins and say, oh, this is what you need to take care of, but to do work with them, to get your hands dirty with them and work the soil.
comes today. First is number 226 and then 544.
Thank you.
I'd like to pause for a word of prayer for the request that Thomas gave us for this morning. So let's pray as we close. Father, I thank you for the message we had this morning. I thank you for Thomas. I pray that you would be giving him a clear mind and help him say the words that you would have for him, be it Spanish or English. We pray that you would help him discern and help him to get through this sermon. And we pray that you would go with us as we now leave from here. Go with us throughout this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving and all the blessings that you give us each day. Thank you for this. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.